You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
It's the midpoint of March, the madness underway. We enjoyed last week at the SEC tournament, but it's on to a few other tournaments right now. Let's get to some headlines to share with you about an amazing weekend all over, especially in Nashville, as we get ready for the NCAA tournament. The Auburn Tigers champs again, and they get to face Yale. Any commonality between Yale and Auburn? Well, we'll find out when they meet in the first round of the NCAA tournament in Spokane. The round of 64, pretty amazing run for the SEC. 8 bids. It begins on Thursday early, Mississippi State and Michigan. Game Mississippi State, according to many, is expected to win. South Carolina, one of the darlings of the SEC, taking on Oregon. That's later in the afternoon. How about Kentucky and Oakland? Any chance of a early round upset? Probably not. And then Tennessee, a prohibitive favorite over St. Pete, a team that did upset Kentucky 2 years ago on Friday. Auburn, Yale, and then Florida plays the play-in winner on Friday afternoon. A&M and Nebraska. Why is that interesting? Because the current AD at A&M was the AD at Nebraska just a week ago. And then Alabama plays the pesky College of Charleston, which is known, has been known to upset a few folks in the NCAA tournament. The women's tournament is off and running as well this week. And the prohibitive favorite, men's tournament doesn't really have a prohibitive favorite. UConn may be the betting favorite. But South Carolina, hands down, is the school everybody is talking about from the women's side. After Carolina, you have Iowa. You have Carolina, and then Iowa, LSU, Stanford, UConn. Remember them? They used to own this tournament. Not anymore. Janai, what was that again? Janai Broome joining us from Auburn. I think you by now should have seen plenty about him over the weekend. Janai, thank you very, very much, and congratulations. A lot of awards, a lot of hardware for you personally and your teammates to bring back. How does it feel on the day after?
It feels great. You know, yesterday was a lot of celebrating, you know, and, you know, just thanking everybody, giving everybody praise, you know. Everybody's worked so hard in this facility, you know, in our program. So, but now we're on to Yale, and we're ready to work.
Listen, there's so many different theories tonight about winning that tournament. We saw major upsets. I'm sure you couldn't help but notice that Friday afternoon, right after you, and all night long. Most of the other, not most, all the other seeds went down. Does that get into your head? Obviously, it didn't get too much into Auburn's head because it won the tournament and it really had an amazing run. But what was Coach's philosophy going in, and take us through the week in Nashville? Obviously, Janai did not hear my question. That is something we didn't see. That is something we didn't see from Janai yesterday on the court against Florida, and that was freezing. He was dominated. So we'll see if we can get him back. But what I was going to ask him was about the surprises in the SEC tournament on Friday afternoon as we were doing there. It just literally, everyone went down. Tennessee was the first to go down, and then later in the afternoon and early evening, it was Kentucky and then Alabama. This is, again, what the schedule is, and Auburn has a long trip ahead, playing in Spokane. It's really interesting. Auburn and Alabama are both at the same site. And Janai, I think we have you back. Yeah, back now. I was joking that you froze on us in our Zoom call. It's something you clearly did not do much of yesterday. You were all over the place in watching the game. I was asking about what you heard the Tennessee game before your game, and then afterwards everybody lost. Kentucky lost and Alabama lost on Friday. You guys seem like you were there. You wanted to win that thing. Take us through the mindset with Coach Pearl.
Yeah, going into the tournament, you know, our goal was not lose anymore. And so that was take three games, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then, you know, we have six of March Madness. So we don't plan on losing no more for the rest of the season. So those three were just the first three of our steps.
You know, I'm not great with math, but if you don't lose again, you're going to win the national championship. And by the way, there are some people, I mean, everybody's got predictions. Everybody's got a bracket. But there are some pretty smart folks who think Auburn's got a legitimate shot. You feel very confident. Take us through the end of the season, because Auburn had some really big wins and was just frankly dominant in the SEC tournament. What happened?
You know, we just got hot at the right time. You know, I feel like we're playing our best basketball right now down the stretch. You know, you got to hit big shots in big time games. That's what we've been doing. And we see a lot of pride in our defense. And, you know, if you stop teams, that's how you win ball games.
Janai, we have something on the screen. The last time Auburn won the SEC tournament was in 19. That was the year Auburn went to the Final Four. The previous time, you were not born. I actually was covering that tournament. That was Sonny Smith. It was interestingly, the year after Barkley left, and then Auburn went on this incredible run and beat Alabama in the SEC tournament final, and then nearly made it to the Final Four, ended up playing a game that year against North Carolina in the Sweet 16. History should not matter, but your coach has been to the Final Four. Does that give you any more confidence knowing that this guy has been to the mountaintop when it comes to college basketball?
For sure. You know, that's the leader of this program, you know, so – you know, we have someone like BP who has been there and done it and, you know, been under the bright lights. You know, we feel comfortable going in there with him because he's going to lead us in the right direction.
You know, like a lot of people in college basketball and pretty much everything in college sports these days, you were able to use the portal to your advantage coming over from Morehead State. Take us through your decision, and to say the least, it worked out pretty well.
For sure it worked out well. You know, I'm glad I made the decision I made to come to Auburn. If I could do it again, I wouldn't change anything with it, because I feel like I had a great experience in the portal. Basically, you know, I just kind of went into the portal not knowing what to expect. And then, you know, a lot of big time coaches called my phone, one of them trying to recruit me. And at the end, you know, BP and the Auburn staff was a little bit different to me. You know, it felt like family. It wasn't just all about basketball. They was asking about how I was doing, you know, about my family. So it felt like a good place and a good culture at Auburn. So I decided to come here.
You know, there's one thing I want to ask you before you go, and it's been a big topic from Coach Pearl. I saw Stephen Pearl made a lot out of it. You win the SEC, toughest league imaginable, and you end up getting sent, I think, 2,400 miles away from campus. Nobody has to travel a further distance. You can't let that affect you, but what were your thoughts upon learning that you're going to have to go literally to Montana? Spokane is right there on the border to play your first and second round games.
You know, we're thankful and we're grateful to have the opportunity to go and play in March Madness. You know, winning the tournament, you know, it was fun. You know, we made history. But traveling that far, we would like to be a little bit closer. But at the end of the day, we're going to play basketball and win a national championship. So, yeah, that's the first two steps that we have to take, and we're ready to do that.
Well, you win those two, then the next game, the next round is way out there, and the finals are in Arizona. You may never come home until you got the net around your neck. Hey, congratulations on yesterday and being so dominant in that tournament, and we look forward to keeping up with you and watching you the rest of the way.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our pleasure. One of the great stars of the weekend in Nashville. as we kick things off here on a Monday. The brackets are out. The excitement has continued to build from the SEC to now the big dance, both in the men and women. We'll talk about all of it and a few guests as we continue on this program. Adam Sparks getting us ready for Tennessee's spring practice. Heather Dinich on all the news from the CFP, and Ari Wasserman from The Athletic will join us as well.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back here as we roll on. Time to go back to school. That does sound fun, doesn't it? I feel like we do that every weekend during football season. Adam Sparks lives in a campus town, so he doesn't have to worry about that. But he joins us now to get us ready for the Tennessee Vols spring camp. Adam, thank you very, very much. We have often talked to you about very serious subjects, public records, going through Jeremy Pruitt's dirty laundry. But I understand you had enough of Tennessee, and you decided you had to get out of the country. I'm really curious about your recent sojourn during the break. How are you doing?
Real good, Paul. Yeah, last week I was did a family vacation. We went to Tokyo for about a week. Actually, got a there was a mix up of whether or not I was covering the SEC tournament. Mike Wilson covers hoops for us for Knox News, but I got a text in the middle of the night from your producers to come on, because over in Tokyo it was like 3 a.m. I think when I got the text. It was also the same time an earthquake hit right outside Tokyo, so I wasn't sure what woke me up, your producer or the earthquake, because they came at the same time.
We had Mike on, and by the way, I don't know what the Tokyo Times coverage of the SEC tournament was, but you would have had a very short stay in Nashville.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I got up and checked Vol Twitter, and Vol Twitter was freaking out and saying, well, Tennessee's going to be like a 4 seed now. That told me that they must have lost in the SEC tournament. Otherwise, people wouldn't be freaking out like that. But I actually got some Vols flavor when I was over there. There's a Tennessee bar, a Tennessee-themed, Vols-themed bar in Tokyo. It's called Good Old Tennessee Bar. It opened about a month ago. It's run by a UT alum who's from Tokyo. He went to UT in the 90s and decided about a month ago to open a Vols-themed bar. So I'm in the middle of Tokyo going into a sports bar that has Peyton Manning on the wall and, you know, the sign that all UT fans know, I will give my all for Tennessee today. That's on the front door. You know, to not hear your language mostly in a city on the other side of the world, and then to walk in, and the first thing you see on TV is Joe Milton scoring a touchdown against UConn on the TV was a little startling. But it was a pretty cool deal to have to have that on the other side of the world. I know a lot of UT fans have reached out to me since then and said, you know, I want to go to Tokyo just to check this off of my bucket list. And if you do, it's a cool thing to do. Guy's name over there is Yoshi Momoki, and he will fill your cup up with balls if you're in the Tokyo area.
I'll make sure I put that in my book. But Adam, I don't know about you. When I was doing what you do for a news organization, we were thinking Destin, maybe Daytona Beach, PCB. Never really thought about going to Tokyo. I'm sure there's a specific reason. It may be classified if you can't tell us.
There's some family that was stationed in the military in South Korea.
Understand.
Did not see them for a while and stuff. Did that. We got our sports fix, though. We got the UT stuff. We went to a Japanese baseball game. My wife is an enormous baseball fan, so we had to go do that. And you things you don't do at a Japanese baseball game that we didn't know about, you don't yell at the umpire. You don't boo a player because he missed the cutoff man. You don't prop your feet up on the seats in front of you, or a security guard will come and tell you to take your feet off of the seat. We didn't know any of these things. We thought we invented the game so we could act however Americans act, but that's not how things are done in Japanese baseball.
Well, Adam, tell Mrs. Sparks that while you two were in Tokyo, I was out Wednesday night with cousin Shane and Bratton. So I remember her coming by our set. I can't remember which one of those two she was so enthralled with, but I do remember.
Cousin Shane.
Yeah, okay.
She watched it. She tuned in. She found it. She found on the Twitters that Cousin Shane was going to be on. So I think she changed up her itinerary so she could watch that.
Well, I am glad that our ratings in Tokyo have ballooned now that Mrs. Sparks was watching Cousin Shane. But I don't want to give it too much hype, but I went by and did a podcast with the two of them one day last week, and it is worth seeing. I rarely promote podcasts, but this was a 45-minute roast of Cousin Shane.
I mean, I've watched it. It's entertaining. It's different. That's where things are going. I think there's a different type of sports media these days, and those two guys are sort of on the forefront of it. It's not the type of medium that everybody can do, but they certainly pull it off.
Yeah, no, I think it helps if your first name is Cousin. Adam Sparks joining us from the News Sentinel. Adam, I don't want to leave out or bury the lead, as we used to say back in the day. What's the deal with Tennessee? I know you've done 10 questions that you need to have resolved, but what's the most pressing question for the Vols?
Yeah, I mean, it was a little startling today. Today was the first practice this morning, and we did a 15-minute presser with Josh Heupel, and it just struck me at the end of it that nobody had asked about Nico. He's the most important player, one of the most important players in the SEC. He's a five-star quarterback, and just he was an afterthought. We asked about transfers. They have 8 transfers. They have 2 new assistant coaches. They've got some notable freshmen that are in now. And by the end of the presser, I think the press corps looked around and thought, none of us have asked about the quarterback. And I think that's very telling. It's because he played so well in the Citrus Bowl, and he sort of verified everything that we thought we knew about him. It just from that one game, maybe we're overplaying it, but just from that one game, I think it sort of turned Nico more into less of a question and more into an answer. For Tennessee, there's just not as much mystery around him. You could even say there's less mystery around him than there was Joe Milton a year ago. And Joe Milton, you know, had been in the game for a long time. We sort of know what Nico is. And so I think that's a good thing for Tennessee. The fact that he is an afterthought rather than a headline at this point is something that they need, because they need stability at that position. And, you know, now they got a lot of other questions. They got to figure out the pieces around him. They have 8 transfers. They had 8 transfers last year. I'd say they hit on about 4 or 5 of them. They need at least that hit rate this year, if not more, if they're going to have a shot at the playoff. Because they didn't just take guys in the transfer portal. They took guys to start and play pretty significant roles.
And, you know, we rarely get into line play. It's critical, but it's not always the easiest thing to talk about. But it seems like that would be a major factor, would it not, if he is going to be successful?
Yeah, they've got to have a left guard. They don't know who that is yet. They got an LSU transfer that's going to play one of the tackle spots, probably left tackle, Lance Hurd. He's a former five-star. They have to have him hit. If he's a miss, then there's not that much of a plan B, at least not the type that you could play to a playoff level. I mean, yeah, line play is important. They retained a lot of their offensive line last year. That was pretty solid. They've got a Technico. They're one of the best rushing teams in college football. They've got to do that again. But, you know, I mean, you look at last year, they lost in the swamp to Florida probably because their center was out and they didn't have a viable backup center. That's still a question now. Do they have a backup center? And so something as small as that, you think that's small, can make the difference between 9 wins and 10 wins. And this year it could make the difference between 8 and 9, 9 and 10, or 10 and 11.
Adam, everybody talks about the schedule, but to me, the NC State game seems not easy. I mean, they're a respectable team, but it could be a lot worse. The conference schedule, you have the two big ones at home. Obviously George on the road. I don't know if that really matters one way or the other, but how do you evaluate, and we're showing it now, that Oklahoma game will obviously be self-explanatory when we talk about Heupel to Oklahoma, but it looks manageable, does it not?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they don't have to win the East to number one, get the SEC title game, but especially to get to the playoff, they don't have to go through Georgia to get to the playoff. I think that's important because that means if you can beat Alabama and Neyland, you know, you have a good shot at the playoff. If you can win at Oklahoma, you have a pretty good shot at the playoff. The rest of the schedule is certainly manageable. I mean, you're right. The NC State game could be sort of a proving game for Nico and this team because that's a neutral site game. NC State is good. They're not great. They'll be solid this year. They do have a veteran quarterback, Grayson McCall. He's thrown for, I don't know, 15,000 yards or something at Coastal Carolina. So that'll be a tough matchup early on. But it's sort of if you get through NC State and you could win at Oklahoma, the odds are better than not that you could find a path to the playoff. But I still circle the Alabama game. If you tell me that Tennessee beats Alabama, I would say they'd have better than a 50-50 chance of getting to the playoff. But that's a really, really big if.
Yeah, seems like I've heard that one before over the many, many years. Adam Sparks, just back from Japan. We appreciate it always, Adam. Many thanks. We have a big revelation coming up here in a minute. One of the biggest of the year on this program. Stick around, and we will have big news for you right up.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
It has arrived, that moment of truth. The Feinbaum caller bracket. Let's take a look. The number one seed. We won't waste as much time as they do on the networks. Legend Two-time winner, probably should have won last year, in my opinion, but there was some, it was a rigged election. Legend did not win. He should have. Should have contested it. Should have protested. Oh, anyway, I don't mean to get into politics. Let's talk about who else is in the field. The Black Hat region will be first. Legend gets a early round matchup against Dolly Parton from Sevierville. Second game, Augie and Daryl, two people that know how to talk. Dwayne and Noah versus Vance in Georgia and J.K. J.K. is the two seed in that regional, and he will take on Catherine in Florida. The Madison, Mississippi region, Squirrel, naturally the number one seed. He plays as UN ambassador, Matt from San Antonio. Andre, coach from Atlanta, takes on the defending champion. I think that could be an upset. Andre looks a little bit like Buckyball out of Samford against Cat Daddy. Logan in Alabama, formerly of North Carolina, takes on the blues musician, Ricky in Mississippi, and AJ, the two seed in the caller region from Squirrelsville, takes on Rick in Houston. Third seed overall, this is the Shelby region. Larry in Shelby, the number one seed. Brad, he'll take on Brad. Stacy against Sheila. That's an all-Birmingham matchup. Trey in T-Town and Sandra. And I-Man takes on Todd. Todd can't win the match. He'll kick I-Man's ass. In the Piggly region, Handsome Joe. More on that later, versus cheerleader Tanner, who has been a rising star in this field, takes on Expired, and there's a good chance Expired may be expired after that matchup. Dominic, the kid, taking on the teacher. Remember when the teacher criticized the kid for his profanity? And then this might be the matchup of the tournament. The verbose John from Louisville versus the venerable one, John, from St. Louis. And for the record, I did all of that without a script because we couldn't afford to pay anyone to write that script. Was Bash in there? Bash did not make the field? Is that what you're... Bash is in the NIT. Wow. This may not go over very well when we say hello to Bash.
Bash, brother Paul.
Bash, I hated to lay that news on you like that, but I did not know that until we revealed it. I was curious, like, where are you?
It's okay, Paul. I'm a caller on the best show on the SEC network, which is the best network.
Okay, you are now in the field. We're taking someone else out.
Oh my goodness, Paul. I cannot thank you enough. You are the best Bash brother in the world. Thank you so much.
Hey, guys,
can't Bash even
have a play-in game? Okay, I'm over with Bash.
Make me be like my university, Paul. Make me play in for it, since that's
Bash,
what they made
Bash, we've had a few budget cuts
Colorado
here at the company, and I'm afraid you're not in the field. I don't know what else to say. You're in the NIT against Jim.
Well, that would be easy money, since I would go against Jim first round. I can eviscerate him and retire him from the show if you give me the opportunity. But other than that, Paul, I had a great weekend. How was your weekend overall in Nashville? Since the tournament was a huge success, the eight teams from the SEC made it to the brackets. And I'm asking you, Paul, are you also counting Texas as well, since the Big 12 season is over and they'll be joining the SEC in a few months?
Sadly, we cannot count Texas. They're still playing winter and spring sports in the Big 12.
I mean, you technically went for them when they played in the college football playoff, so why should this be any different?
Well, because we have rules.
I understand. Your sponsors are telling you, no, not yet, Paul, not yet. So I understand that. Is this 8 versus 8? It will make it interesting going into the tournament, 8 teams from both conferences. And it's like, well, technically Texas is SEC. It's like, Paul, you just confirmed, not yet, Bash, not yet. So we'll get there eventually. One last question for you, Paul, before I head out, and thank you again for attempting to try and get me in the bracket. And that just shows you I got more hard work to accomplish this year. And by the time next year comes fall, I guarantee you I'm going to be a number one seed. But my last question for you, Paul, is do you really think Legend was snubbed last year when he lost to Cat Daddy? Because I've heard you say over and over, Paul, that he should have been the winner.
Well, that's how I feel, like, Paul, and I'm not changing my mind. I felt like it was an illegal election. I refuse to recognize last year's winner.
Is that the same kind of like the election 4 years ago? And it's like, you know, I refuse that Joe Biden is my president, just like I refuse. Cat Daddy is the best caller on the show.
Bash, there's such a thing as humor. Could be one reason you're not in the field. Matt is in the field. Hey,
hey
Matt.
Brother, how you doing? Well, I was going to talk about something going out the window because I didn't know I was on the bracket day. I apologize. Oh, man, that hurts. Well, who am I going against, Paul, since I didn't know I was on the bracket day? Can you tell me?
You're up against Squirrel.
Okay, Squirrel. You're going to be roasting me.
Matt, I don't know how to tell you this, but you are not a favorite either.
That's fine. Doesn't matter. I mind being the bad guy. So I'll just put Squirrel on my barbecue pit, cook him to death. Here you go. You can have him to eat. I don't care. Enjoy him. Eat him alive. I don't care. So Squirrel, I will destroy you like I did Jim when I was the knight and I slayed his head of the dragon and said, hey, everybody, want the head of the dragon? Come eat it. All you want. Squirrel, you're a worthless caller in this bracket towards me. I will beat you like a Cherokee drum. This guy did to Jim when his nurse had to change his diaper so many times. He's a liar and a buffoonish goose of a loser. And so are you, Squirrel. Don't try to go against me in this bracket. I'll destroy you. I will annihilate you. I will bend you over.
Matt, I don't think that's really helping your cause. We'll take a short break. Bash may be in after all. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. And Mike is up next. Hey, Mike, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Paul.
Yes, sir.
What do I got to do to get in the bracket?
I don't know. I do not pick the bracket. The producers, the people in the other room do.
Oh, okay. What do you think about Bucky McMillan possibly going to Vanderbilt, depending on how the tournament goes for Sanford?
Well, I think he would be a major upgrade on from what they've had. And I think it's a matter of what Bucky wants to do. I think he is one of the hottest coaching commodities in the country. And I think it's a matter of choosing wisely and not just going someplace because it's an advancement or seemingly is, and make sure that they are committed to a successful basketball program.
Yes, I agree. I think Auburn should have been at least a 3 seed, not a 4 seed, but they're about to put everybody wrong in the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, all that stuff doesn't make a whole lot of difference. You have to win your games. And I think there's too much whining on selection night. Will is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. When he was talking to Johnny, I think he was absolutely right. man-made for a less spectacular SEC tournament, but all the lower seeds done it exactly what they needed to do, and I think that's what got them over the hump into the NCAA tournament. You know, it wasn't a Kentucky or Tennessee final, but, you know, all the bubble teams in the SEC won, and, you know, I think that helped get 8 or 9 of y'all into the tournament. But quick question, do you have any plans on, you know, going to the Tennessee game since it's right there in the backyard?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what time it starts. I've seen it, but I can't remember when. Is it in the afternoon?
I think it's the second game, I think.
Yeah, no, I looked at it. Because it is in the afternoon, I don't think I can get there. As much as I would like to play hooky from work, I will not be able to. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Wesley is up next in Georgia. Hey, Wesley, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul, what a great March. I tell you what, I had a Manning family moment 10 days ago, and I wanted to ask you about it.
Okay, sure.
I was at the Georgia High School 4-day state championship 16-game tournament 10 days ago, and I'm watching these two teams from Augusta play. And the announcer came on and said, at 6'2", Jessica Fields. I'm like, my Lord. It was Justin Fields' youngest sister. And, you know, since the Manning people passed down all the quarterbacks, Justin being the great athlete he is, this girl was spectacular. She head and shoulder face, she rebounds, she shot free throws. I was so impressed. And I was just wanting to ask you, do you think that athleticism is passed on generation to generation? That is my question.
Yeah, Wesley, I appreciate the question. I think I'm not qualified to answer that. I think there would be some evidence. We see it too often. That in families, you mentioned a couple of them there, but I mean, I could probably give you 50 families that the genetics do play an advantage. But I mean, I've also seen plenty of times when someone who whose parents may not be talented, and you see a great player. So I understand where you're coming from. I simply don't know enough about genetics. I know that. My parents were not world-class athletes, and that's exactly what they produced as a son. Hey, thank you for the call. Jace is up next in Augusta. Hello, Jace.
Hey, Paul. I was just wondering how John from St. Louis got in on a caller bracket. I mean, he brings nothing to the damn show anyway.
Yeah, well, obviously the committee disagreed.
Well, I mean, the committee needs to they might need to go back and regroup, because you know, all he does is whenever he calls up, I mean, he seems to insult you.
He does, that's exactly what he does.
Right. So you know, I've never done that, and you know, hopefully I'll get in next year, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I wonder. I really wonder if we should maybe get the chairman of the committee on and answer some of these questions.
Well, I don't know, but I mean, that's up to you.
By the way, I agree with you. I think there's some very. And I don't. I know this sounds like I'm being cannibalistic here, but there are three or four people, and I've already talked to one, and I think I'm talking to another here. I don't understand how you and Bash got left out, and Will got left out, and some of these people got in. I really don't.
Well, I mean, it is what it is, but
is, should there be an investigation? Are people buying their way into the Feinbaum caller bracket is my question.
No, I don't. I'm not saying that at all, Paul.
I appreciate your being a good sport about this. I'm on the record of saying I disagreed with the winner last year. I disagree with at least two or three selections, and I haven't even had a chance to study the bracket.
Right. I mean, having John from St. Louis in there is like having Joe Biden in. I mean.
Yeah, you're right.
So anyway, Paul. Hey, have a great day, buddy. Well,
By the way, Jace, I'll give you an old joke that I've heard a million times, but I think it's worth repeating.
Okay.
Have you ever, not really a joke, it's a riddle, but have you ever seen John from St. Louis and Joe Biden at the same place?
No. I think him and Joe Biden are the same.
Hey, by the way, if I respond to that, then I'm going to be attacked for being political. So I'm just going to say thank you for your call.
All right, thanks, Paul.
Which man do you want with his hand on the button? Joe Biden or John from St. Louis?
Neither one.
Okay. We'll take a break. Heather Dinich. I do trust Heather Dinich. She knows all about dealing with wayward committees. We'll talk to her in a minute.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.